The sales base across seven major markets is set to more than triple from $2.1 billion in 2015 to around $7.6 billion by 2025.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is on how patient groups are advancing blockchain use and what pharma can learn. Privacy and data ownership are hotly debated topics these days. With wearables, apps, tracking technologies, we're generating more data every single day than ever before. But its use and ownership is, no doubt partly by design, loosely defined and often skewed unfavorably away from the private people whose data it is. The financial returns from personal data are rarely actually seen by the individuals whose data it is, despite them bearing most of the risk for its misuse or illicit sale. And where private health data is concerned, including medical records, genetic information, and lab results, the stakes are even higher. The pharmaceutical industry, practitioners, and payers all work tirelessly to ensure patient data stays private and secure. Now, blockchain technology and artificial intelligence may well be the answer. Today with me, I have Jean Barnett, who is the founder of cysticfibrosis.com, who, alongside her patient community, have been addressing the specific topic of patient data, including genetic data, and the ownership of that data and the consented use of that data. I'm so happy to have you on the show, Jean. It's such a pleasure. I've known you for, well, decades, since the 90s. So it's really nice to get you on the podcast. Welcome. I'd really like to start by asking you a bit about your background and how you got into this and where did you start and what did you do?
Hi, Andrea. It's so lovely to be here with you today. And I was a math and computer science teacher in a Catholic school. And I left school when my husband and I realized that we could buy medical domain names and have a business selling them. One of the teachers left with me, and she just happened to have cystic fibrosis. So along with many medical domain names like sleepdisorders.com, dermatologist.com, I bought cysticfibrosis.com. The teacher who left with me was not keen on being the poster child for CF, so I ended up running the site, having the tagline, support, education, and hope. I put up some message boards for adults with CF and families, and they became instantly busy.
Wow, so that was so long ago now. How many patients do you have in your community now?
Oh, between cysticfibrosis.com and our other social media sites on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we have about 50,000 members. Wow. Today, I always make sure we are reaching the masses of CF patients and their families is through health opinion leaders. We call them HOLs. Mm-hmm. These are the influencers, always ready to reach out.
Nice. And how many countries do you have? I mean, no. It's probably largely U.S. because you're U.S.-based, but what other countries do you have patients?
We've always had members from many countries.
Yeah.
So from 34 countries, mostly the U.S., but Canada, the U.K., Ireland, and Europe. You know, wherever CF is diagnosed, it abounds. Okay.
Yeah.
And an interesting statistic, according to Global Data, a recognized leader in providing business information and analytics, the CF space across seven major markets of the US, France, Germany, Spain, and the UK and Canada is set to more than triple from $2.1 billion in 2015 to around $7.6 billion by 2025, representing a compound annual growth rate of 13.6%.
Wow.
I think that's interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah. I'm wondering what's causing that explosion is interesting too, what the factors are. It's curious. Well,
I think that many more mutations are being uncovered, discovered. Yeah. So more people are being diagnosed with CF. And, you know, Andrea, the CF drugs are very expensive.
Yeah.
One Vertex drug could cost $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
one patient.
Yeah. What would you think would be the key challenges that your patients are telling you about in the community that they face?
Well, CF affects wherever there's mucus. So they'll be talking to each other about their sinuses, the heart, the lungs, the gastro, the reproductive, and about the new mutations, their mutations. And they will be talking about which pharma companies are working on which mutations.
Okay. So they're very educated and aware audience and very in actually interacting with all of the providers and the pharma company and really taking an active role in where things are going.
Yes. I remember doctors saying, you know, wait, you know more than the interns.
Yeah.
You would get there. You know,
yeah.
Think of it, how important this is for them. You know, these new drugs do have CRISPR, which can directly attack their mutations and change them for the better.
Have you seen a big improvement over the time that you've been working with cystic fibrosis patients?
Yes.
That's good.
There is a big improvement with the different drugs that are available.
Yeah. Okay. And what about with the industry? How would the community like to collaborate with the pharma industry?
Well, this community always takes part in clinical trials.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the forums, people wanted to know their mutations and which pharmas were working with them. Also, these patients would like it if pharma checked up on them, you know, on the drugs.
Because
it seems like after the clinical trials and then they get access to the drugs, then the pharma's not there anymore, right?
Okay.
Nobody knows really how they're doing.
Interesting.
So, patients would like pharma to check in.
That's very interesting. And something that I've heard you talk about for the last few years is the whole issue that we started with, which is about patient data and patients wanting to own their medical data and giving informed consent on the use of it on a case-by-case basis. Could you tell me about, what the patients are asking for here?
Yes, we actually have several surveys, even one that we just did last week, that show that patients may even think they are controlling their data, when actually their data may exist in silos, all different silos, such as doctor's office, hospitals, pharmacies, government, and more.
Yeah.
All these businesses could be selling the patient's data without the patient permission or even knowledge.
Yeah.
Patients and families may know how valuable their data is and want to control access to it through a permission system that is predicated on compensation to the patient.
Yeah.
So the patients want to be compensated. That's one thing we know.
And know where their data is and who's using it and be giving permission for it, because even if it's in the doctor's offices, then typically that means that there's someone selling that data, because electronic medical records you can buy. I mean, admittedly, the patient data is taken off it when you buy it, but you can actually buy it. And that's not cheap to buy that. And that whoever is selling that, and there's lots of different people selling it, none of the patients are getting any of that benefit.
Right. So for years, Andre, I've been calling this a 21st century job.
Yeah.
Let's take care of our data. Let's use yours and I take care of mine. What a job that would be, right?
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see where your data is and who is making money on it.
Yes, that would be an interesting mapping, actually, very interesting mapping. I actually have been looking at cyber risk recently, and it's very interesting how healthcare data is the one data that is hacked more than anything else. Like 45 million people have had healthcare data hacked in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that would be fascinating to actually map where each person's healthcare data, the different silos, the different things, where it is and where it isn't. That would be very interesting. And who's making money from it, where the money's going from it as well.
And I have 12 grandchildren.
Yeah.
So they're all in school. And you could imagine they're just learning the same boring stuff that I learned in school.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though there's so many interesting things that could be done just with data.
Well, where I kind of see healthcare going is, have you heard of digital twins?
No.
So a digital twin is basically it started with NASA, and they created these digital twins of the space station. So if something went wrong on the space station, they could replicate it in NASA and figure out the fix and send it back. And then General Electric did that. But now we're doing it with human bodies. And so we've got digital twins of hearts. We've got digital twins of pancreases. And eventually we'll have a digital twin of the whole body. So the way I see this healthcare data going is that each person will have their digital twin, which means that even for drug trials, they wouldn't need to test the drug on a person. They could test them on their digital twin. And so you would have the digital twin encrypted in blockchain, like you're talking about, and give access. And then it just means that the person themselves has complete control, which is what you've been advocating for many years. One thing I was going to ask you, where are you with that currently in terms of, you were talking about creating this blockchain so that your patients could have their data that way?
So we have a very vibrant community with influencers. And so we've been waiting to find the right technology and we have a nonprofit, so we're set with cfTechnology.org.
Yeah.
The patients themselves are scientists, and we have scientists working with us.
Yeah.
But we don't have the sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, so we need sponsors. And I was thinking of how AI could fit in also with this blockchain technology, right?
Yeah, it could really sort all the data. So you have the blockchain for the security, and then the AI could automatically, when someone puts a request, it could figure out exactly which are the right patients that this might, you know, be the one that this data works for, and so on. So I think that the two together could provide both the security and the analysis that's required for it.
Right.
So when we were last talking, which I think was either last year or earlier this year, you'd basically done all the planning for what you wanted with your team at CF Technology, which were everyone on that team has cystic fibrosis, and they're scientists and data scientists and medics, and so you had exactly what you wanted to do ready. You understood that the blockchain element and how you wanted that to work, but you had the patients waiting, and you still have the patients there really wanting it to happen and get their data used. So all you're really waiting on now is a sponsor. Is that correct? You just need some funding to do it?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
So if there was a pharma company or medical device company that's listening today and they've got cystic fibrosis in their pipeline, or indeed any of the comorbidities that come along with cystic fibrosis, like diabetes or respiratory conditions, gastro conditions, this would be really a golden opportunity to walk the talk of actually helping the patients, but also provide a unique opportunity to get really fast access to really strong data.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is so lovely that you're talking to me about this.
Well, I know that
we can lift it up and get somewhere.
Yeah, well, I just know that it's been a pain point for you and the patients for a few years now, and you know where you want to be. So have any of you worked with pharma before?
Yes, we've worked with pharma before, and, you know, getting patients for clinical trials.
Yeah.
Also for spirometry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what kind of benefits do you think pharma get from working with you in the community in cystic fibrosis?
Oh, well, we have the patients. So,
yeah, yes.
You know, so like you said, that's the gold.
That is, yes.
You know, and these patients are smart.
Yeah.
They want to work.
Yeah.
They're ready. And they've said to me, Jean, you know, stop talking about blockchain unless we're ready. You know, so
yeah,
they want the sponsorship.
Yeah. So they know they want, they've got the blockchain, everything's there, but yeah, they just are getting frustrated because it's
right.
There's no one's put some money in. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I do think that this is where things are going. You know, I've seen a few venture capital funded businesses trying to do this. So they create that kind of technology and they don't have the patients and they don't get anywhere. Whereas what you've got is the gold dust, which is the patient and the patient data. So yeah, it is the way of the future. I think that's where we will eventually be owning our own data and choosing, particularly with all the privacy laws now, with GDPR and everything else, it makes sense that we own our own data and we make an informed choice and get paid for it. So, okay, so is there something else? Is there anything else that you can think of that pharma and medical device could help you with in case there's anyone listening? So obviously sponsorship's a big thing. Is there anything else that you would be like to say to pharma?
I don't know how many ways I could say that the community is ready.
Yeah.
That we would love to work with pharma. And we have worked with successfully with pharma in the past.
Yeah.
With you know, and we're excited.
Yeah.
And appreciative for all the work that pharma does.
Yeah.
For the patients. And I know they might be looking for people with different mutations.
Yeah,
because the work that they do is specific for the certain mutations, and we have patients. We have the ones with the. We can find them.
Yeah, well, 50,000 for an area like CF is not to be sniffed at. You've got a huge proportion of all the global populations by the patients, by the sounds of it. So fantastic. Well. For any pharma or medical device companies that would like to get in touch with Jean and potentially sponsor the blockchain app development and work with her to have access to her patients and her patient data, go to their community at cysticfibrosis.com or email Jean directly at Jean, J-E-A-N-N-E, at cftechnology.org and find out more about what this patient community are doing and how your help could be vitally needed to really help them progress. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Jean. It's been such a pleasure seeing you again.
Yes. I just deeply appreciate your interest. And you, of course, have so many ways that you can help us, you know, so many avenues. And I'm deeply appreciative.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.